Since 1981, Justin has been producing world-class Bordeaux-style wines from Paso Robles on the California Central Coast. As a pioneer of the region, Justin Wines helped put Paso Robles on the winemaking map. The Justin team believes the wine should be exceptional in every aspect, which is why they use boutique winemaking practices like hand harvesting and hand sorting. With a rich history of accolades, Justin is proud to produce exceptional wines and hold the title of America's number one luxury Cabernet. Whether you're a first-time wine drinker or a seasoned aficionado, Justin has the perfect wine for every occasion. Visit justinwine.com and enter promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off your order. Justin Wines also makes the perfect holiday gifts for clients, colleagues, friends, or family. Don't miss out. Visit justinwine.com and use the promo code PLAYBOOK20 for 20% off for a limited time.
This is amazing. I always say, my frequency is my neighborhood. And when you walk into a room or you meet someone, you actually are able to feel those people. And I suggest that you elevate your awareness to the frequencies that you surround yourself with. There's the strength of the signal that people have. There's a wide spectrum of frequency of how many people you're relative to. And it's an elevation of an awareness that makes life easy. I coach a lot of people. It's my mission to help a lot of people. And the most common question I get is, Mr. Meltzer, can you help me get better at this? Can you help me get better at blank? And it's funny because I always have the same answer. There's only one way to get better, and that's to practice. I think my whole life is a practice. Practicing what behaviors get me to where I want to be, or better, faster, with greater results, and practice identifying what I'm doing to interfere, what behaviors interfere with the results that I want or think that I want, or the ability to identify that it's even better than I wanted, even though nobody would believe me, or sometimes I don't believe it. And so I've developed plain old practices that are applicable to every single area of your life, personally and professionally. And I thought this would be a great neighborhood to share how I practice in the consistent everyday, persistent without quit, pursuit of my potential. One of the things that I've identified about most people in the world is they live in a world of nothingness. If you've ever read Camus' The Stranger, they talk about the myth of Sisyphus, where he rolls a boulder to the top of the hill every single day just to have it roll down to the bottom the next day. Most people on earth, that's how they're living their lives. In fact, I call it, they live their lives, I'm glad most of us are done eating, they live their lives like tubes. Their entire days are full with food in, food out. Their entire life is nothingness. And so I created these five daily practices that I'm going to teach you today to take you out of the nothingness that most people live their life in. I want you to live with passion, purpose, and profitability. I'm going to teach you a very pragmatic way to look at each and every day of your life to allow yourself to have that purpose that's greater than the pain that you're guaranteed. And I promise you, if your purpose is greater than your pain, you will never quit. The common denominator of all great people that I've surrounded myself with in sports, business, entertainment, Pat Tillman was one of those people, by the way. The thing I look for most in people is a desire that they must be what they can be. Ask yourself, do I have that desire that I must be what I can be? Not what other people want me to be, not what's missing, not what I don't have, but do I have a desire that I must be what I can be? And am I willing to commit to practicing it every day, 7 days a week? And so let's talk about how do we take our nothingness and make it a mathematical advantage, make it a possibility. It's really simple. If you want to take your day that starts with nothing and make it a possibility, then ask yourself one question. What is it I want today? What is it I want today personally? What is it I want today experientially? What is it I want today giving-wise? And what do I want to receive today? Ask yourself each day, what is it I want in a divine direction, a trajectory of where I think I want to be, taking into account the circumstances, the reality of today, by learning and giving meaning, as I spoke earlier today, from my past mistakes, failures, setbacks, successes, defining moments, historical relevances. We find every single reason and every single meaning not to get to where we want to be. But I promise you, if you align what you want with where you want to be or better and your past in that trajectory, that divine direction, your nothingness, the nothingness that most people feel, will have a mathematical advantage every day. It will become a possibility, a glimmer of hope, a glimmer of faith each and every day that my life is better. There is a possibility of everything that I want. But it takes discipline to commit to that every day. And these practices are difficult. Like I said, the simple things to do are simple to do one day, but they're simple not to do every day. So get into the practice. Why is that true? Well, most people don't understand the conscious continuum. They don't understand how humans work in a biochemical, bioanatomical, and an energetic way. So it's really interesting. We have three memories that make it important to practice. Our first memory is our cellular memory. And that's why practicing every day is so important, because your cellular memory is really stupid. The cellular memory only lasts every 24 hours. That's why Gladwell in 10,000 practices in that order, we need to do stuff every single day in order for the cellular memory to remember it. And so if you're not practicing every single day, you won't be able to utilize the entire conscious continuum to shift your quantum being, your energetic and genetic being. You won't break the chains of addiction. You won't break the chains of belief, of self-image, all the things that make people what they want to be or better. And so we need to practice every day so our cellular memory says, oh, that's right. And if we practice long enough, it speaks to our subconscious. Now, there's a terrible misnomer out there about the subconscious. Has anyone ever heard it takes 21 days to form a habit? It actually takes 21 days minimum to form a neural pathway. And a neural pathway is like a ski slope. If you keep skiing the exact same track, it gets easier and easier, more automatic and more automatic. But your cellular memory handles about 10,000 new inputs a day, new thoughts, new beliefs, new feelings, new actions, new words. Every day, you're getting inputted with 10,000 new, but your subconscious hosts 40,000 of the same thoughts that are utilized in neural pathways, maps, that indicate, believe it or not, what you mostly think. Most of the time, you're daydreaming. Most of the day, you have a narrative to fill. Your brain is actually daydreaming, and that's why social media can be dangerous and helpful, but it's also why the practices are so important, because you're filling the narrative to create your reality. And those people that can fill a narrative by teaching lessons and telling stories are filling the daydream with the reality. Well, unfortunately, your subconscious hosts 40,000 of the same thoughts every day, with over 80% of them negative and repetitive. Think what you're doing to yourself. If you're not consciously thinking about, this is what I want, not what I don't want, not what I'm missing, not what I don't not have, not that I energetically and genetically inherited, but this is what I want. That's why the danger of the 21 days to form a habit is so dangerous, because it's 21 days to create a neural pathway. It could take lifetimes to change your energetic or genetic habit, because it is the subconscious that speaks to what? Your genetics, your quantum being. It speaks through what's called an epigenetic layer of your unconscious. That's who you are. That's energetic and genetic inheritance from four generations. It's the color of your skin, eyes, hair. It's how you somehow are the exact same person as your grandfather. He was an alcoholic. Your dad was an alcoholic. You're an alcoholic. But you can break that. May take lifetimes to break it. But by practicing what you want, You can change the neural pathways, which speaks to the epigenetic, and you can activate and deactivate who you are through consistent behavior. And so utilizing the conscious continuum, you start realizing how important it is to pick our behaviors every day according to the real circumstances of that day, and how important it is to give meaning to your past that is aligned with where you want to be, not interfering with it. And so to make possibilities, we need to ask ourselves, what is it I want each day? Separately each day. And you know what's nice? You can change your mind. COVID hits, change your mind. Interest rates go up, change your mind. Your girlfriend leaves you, change your mind. You can change your mind. But if you practice every day in alignment with where you think you want to be according to the circumstances of the day, you will get the greatest and the most consistent result of good behavior. You know what the only result of good behavior is? Good progress. Can't see it. But I promise you, good behavior creates good progress. Doesn't necessarily create the outcomes that you want, especially immediately, or outcomes that you could recognize, know, or understand. But I promise you, practicing good behavior, practicing what you want every day, will create progress towards what you want or better. That's how we create possibilities. Now, how do we take the next step? The second daily practice takes your possibilities and makes it a probability, another mathematical advantage in your life. Imagine every day having probabilities, not nothing. Probabilities, not possibilities. How do we do that? Well, after we know what we want in the trajectory of where we want to be or better, we ask ourselves, who can we help and who can help us? If you know who you can help and who can help us, your possibilities become a probability. The fastest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's sitting in a situation you want to be in and ask them for directions and give somebody else directions on where they want to be. As I mentioned earlier, I wake up every morning and pray to God, may you put at least 10 people in front of me I can help, and may you put at least 10 people in front of me that can help me. Because I want probabilities in my life. I want to remind, remember, and recollect that I am part of an infinite, abundant, unified system of thought that is here to protect, promote, and love all of us. Not some of us, all of us. And when you know your who, the probabilities are extraordinary. When you know your who, you live your life in spirit, as one. It encourages faith when we believe in that one. Instead of looking how separate we are, reacting to the differences that we have, thinking that nobody wants to help me or I can't help anyone else, I promise you it's not true. The second daily practice takes your possibilities and makes them probabilities. So ask yourself, identify. We're blessed with technology. It's so easy to find our who today. Anybody old enough to used to have to find the who in the yellow pages? That was super hard, right? LinkedIn, it beats the yellow pages ass, which is probably why you don't see a yellow pages anymore. It's kind of like Venmo beats that big ass check. Much easier to get on the plane with 12 grand on Venmo than it is that big ass check. Technology is great. Third daily practice. So if we're, most people live their life in nothingness. Knowing our what takes it to a possibility, knowing our who takes it to a probability. How do we change that to our perspective? Know your how. Know your how. How, according to the circumstances of the day and the divine direction or trajectory of which I want to be in or better, and the meaning that I'm giving the past by looking for the light, the love, and the lessons in the past, not what I don't have, what's missing, punishing myself. How can I get what I want done and help who I want to help or who can help me? How do I do that? Time. Time. You are granted it 24 hours a day. I guarantee you that you're granted 24 hours a day every single day of your life, except for the last day. You will be cheated. Seconds, minutes, or hours. It's guaranteed. So live your life like that. That's how you have your perspective. So I'm going to give you some really pragmatic advice. This is, to me, the longest part, but it's the most helpful in my life. A lot of people want balance in their life. I don't want balance in my life. I want harmony in my life. I don't want to spend equal amount of my day on personal, 25% experiential, 25% giving, 25% receiving, according to the circumstances of the day. That seems like a pain in my ass. I want harmony in my life. I want to know there's harmony in what I want and who I can help, and how best today can I get it done according to what's going on today. So the number one tip in getting the how is to decide what's non-negotiable in your life. You have to decide what is a non-negotiable, no matter what the circumstances of the day are. Whether you have to take off on a plane, whether you have a flat tire, whether the in-laws come in town, whether someone or something is late, it doesn't matter to me. I have non-negotiables, and the number one non-negotiable in my life, sleep. Sleep is the number one non-negotiable. I pay a special attention to the things in my life that I need to do to stay alive. So I'm very conscious about how I breathe. Why? Because if you don't breathe, you're dead. I pay a special attention to hydration. Why? Because if I don't drink, I'm dead. I pay a special attention to my nutrition and food. Why? Because if I don't eat, I'm dead. This is God telling me, hey, bro, these are very important things. You should maybe make them non-negotiable in your life. And the number one thing, time-wise, of how to get what I want is if you don't sleep, you're dead. Fortunately, sleep is easy. Everybody sleeps, almost everybody sleeps every single day. Most of us average about 8 hours a day. So it shouldn't be that much of a task to make it a non-negotiable. For me, it's a minimum of 7 hours a day. Now, I take non-negotiables seriously. Remember what I said on who? So for 17 years, I've had a sleep coach. And what I've learned about sleep is that sleep has two purposes. One is obvious, which most of us understand. It's recovery. Sleep is for recovery. The better you recover, if any of you are sports people or not, the better you recover, the better you perform tomorrow. It's that simple. So I got a sleep coach to teach me, no matter where I am, what I'm doing, how many days I'm flying, how many hours I'm speaking, shows, TV, movies, coaching, everything I've done today, that I recover and I'm better tomorrow. One of the things that makes me laugh every single day is that most people on earth live in nothingness, but they also go to bed every night and wake up more tired. Literally, imagine if we sat here and ate for 3 hours and went on the way out. Everybody here looks at me and goes, man, I'm starving. And well, that's because you didn't have the best residential steak I've ever had. Coffee crusted, delicious food coma steak. And then put me on stage, you mother. And he gave me Manhattan too, and I don't even drink. So I'm doing my best to hang in here past my bedtime. Recovery, it's non-negotiable. It's the first thing I put in my calendar, and I seek my sleep coach to make sure that it's the right time, that it's the right temperature, the right light. In fact, my tomorrow starts today because I have an unwinding routine to put myself in a position to recover tomorrow. So no caffeine, no drugs, no alcohol within 2 hours of when I want to pass out, when I'm done with all my energy. The second thing about sleep is not only recovery, it's one that's a little less obsequious, which is what? Accessing information. See, when you sleep, you access information for the next day. You receive what I call a karmic download. I believe there's a My Cloud up there. Some people call it Akashic Records. Some people call it God. I don't care what you call it. But you're receiving information when you sleep, devoid of your ego. If you unwind appropriately and put yourself in a position to recover and access, giving you a mathematical advantage in your perspective and performance of the next day. So my non-negotiable of sleep already takes out about a third of my day. And I want to be in the Hall of Fame of sleep. I used to want to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I actually figured if I can be the best sleeper in the world, I'm going to be one of the greatest performers in whatever I want to do. And I believe that to be true. Most people say, I'm old. How do you have so much energy? That's incredible. You're on all day. How do you have so much energy? You're old and you don't look like you're in that good of shape. I'm like, first of all, round is a shape. Feel me? Round is a shape. But yes, I am not, as I stated earlier, stronger or younger than most people, but try to shadow me. Try to keep up with me. You know why? Because we all have the same energy. We're all part of a unified, abundant system of thought with all the energy. You have more energy in your pinky. It has enough energy that you could light up all of Manhattan with the energy in your pinky. What are you doing to interfere with it? Well, I guarantee you sleep is one of the things that you're doing to interfere with this unbelievable source of information and recovery. So sleep is a non-negotiable. For me, that leaves 17 hours of awake time. So then I commit to every single day practicing other non-negotiable things. Number one non-negotiable beyond my sleep, relative to sleep, is my health. No matter what happens in my life, every single day, I spend a minimum of 1 hour on my health. Balance, cardio, meditation, whatever it may be, diet, practice, whatever it is towards my health, number one, before my family even. And that changed when I recovered from losing everything. I went to my wife to thank her. I couldn't even imagine being where I was after what had happened in my life. And I wanted to thank my wife. And I told her, I said, sweetheart, I can't believe where we are again. And I just want to thank you. What can I do for you? You want to go somewhere? What can I do for you? And she said, you need to take care of yourself. Because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of others. You're not going to meet your mission of empowering over a billion people. And right now you're putting everybody else first. And it's not going to get you to where you want to be or better, I promise you. So I said, non-negotiable. My health is first. If my son needs his homework done, he's going to have to wait till I'm done with my workout or my stretch routine or my balance or my cardio or whatever else I'm doing for my health. 7 days a week. No days off. No days off on sleep. No days off on my health. Then comes my family. Minimum of 30 minutes with my wife, 30 minutes with my 14-year-old son, 2 minutes with my teenage, well, they're not teenagers, 20-something daughters, right? Remember, 2 minutes a day is worth 2 hours on a Saturday. I asked for 5, by the way, they gave me 2. They're better negotiators than I am. 1 minute minimum with my mom, right? I call her every day, tell her I'm happy, healthy, and I love and appreciate her. A minimum of a minute a day with my mom. A minimum amount of time studying time. A minimum amount of time looking at my accounts, paying attention and giving attention to my finance. A minimum amount of time contacting people I'm relative with. I have a list of thousands of people. Some of you are going to be on that list, especially the guy that gave me the best residential stake I've ever had. And I literally every day spend a minimum of 10 minutes a day reaching out to people on my relativity list. I just reach out, hey, how are you doing? Thinking of you. Either text, phone, email, whatever it is. And I just check it off and go down the thousands of people and start over to make sure that I am connecting to the people most relative to me beyond my family. Keeping connected. In the time, think about this. So I have about 3 hours or so of non-negotiable behaviors, family, finance, faith, fitness, health, sleep. It leaves me 14 hours to do whatever I want. You see, I know one thing about non-negotiable behaviors and the practices of daily practices of non-negotiable behavior. It creates 90% of the results that I want in my life. That gives me great ease to know that all the other variant behavior, when I decide to go to South Dakota or decide to do this instead or whatever else I decide during the day and prioritize for my day, beyond my non-negotiables, really only affecting 10% of the outcomes in my life. But I'll tell you this about the simple things to do, or unfortunately simple not to do, is that without the variance, I would never be able to be committed to the consistent behavior that I have. It's the variance that allows me to feel okay about sleeping the way that I do and the other behaviors that I do every day. Being able to do whatever I want, prioritize according to the circumstance, whatever I want, but 90% of my outcomes, 90% of my results come from the committed, consistent behavior of what's non-negotiable for me, regardless of the circumstances of today. It doesn't matter. I'm going to spend that time with my family. I'm going to reach out to my friends. I'm going to study my faith. I'm going to spend a minimum of an hour a day on my health. This every single day, no matter what, it goes in my calendar. It's as if Jesus Christ said, I'm going to have the second Last Supper with you. You got to be there at 5 p.m. There's nothing that's going to let me miss that. That's how serious my non-negotiables are. Whatever it takes, if I have to add an hour in the morning, if I have to tell people no. An amazing thing about knowing your non-negotiables is nobody can imagine how much people respect it. I'll give you an example. I'm on the Aspire Business Tour. Has anyone been or seen the Aspire Business Tour? Nick's the only one. Really popular in your space. So every month you have guys like David Goggins and, you know, all the sharks, and we speak around the country in these big venues. And anyway, part of the reason I'm leaving early tomorrow morning is I am committed to my family, and my son is a freshman in high school and he has a football game, which is one of the most important things to me, to be there. And so I was at the Aspire Business Tour in Phoenix giving my speech. I told the guys, you're running late, I have to leave, and I'll give myself 18 minutes from the stage to the plane. So when that clock hits and leaves me 18 minutes, I don't care where I'm at in my speech. So imagine I'm speaking to you guys right now and I said, actually, excuse me, I need to go. I promised my son I'm going to his football game. I got to get to the airport in 18 minutes and I'm not going to miss it. I hope you learned that lesson more than anything else I've taught you. Have a wonderful day. Take over. And I left. Now, two things happened. One, I got the biggest standing ovation I've ever gotten, which just gave my wife more fuel to make fun of me and say, how is it the biggest standing ovation you've ever gotten is when you were leaving early? To tell you something about the fools that hired me to speak. But it was. Whenever I tell people, hey, sorry, I can't do that because I have to go work out. Sorry, I can't do that because I'm going to spend 20 minutes praying. I can't do that because I'm going to talk to my mom. Yeah, but this is a multi-billion dollar deal, Dave. I'm paying you to advise me on this multi-billion dollar deal. And I said, I know. And if you aren't aligned with my values, then let me give you your money back. All I do is earn respect. Nobody's ever said, you know what, you're fired. You are not the person I want to be with because you want to go watch your son play football or talk to your mom or take care of your health. I don't agree with that. It's amazing. It's the meaning, it's the purpose, the perspective in your life, and everything changes, and so does the perspectives of other people change. So in the values of gratitude, forgiveness, and accountability comes these lenses of productivity, of how much value I'm providing, accessibility to others, and accessibility to receiving information and what you want, and gratitude, finding the light, the love, and the lessons in everything you do in accordance to the circumstances and the divine direction, which creates a new meaning of divine detours, which other people call failures, mistakes, setbacks, etc., punishment. Not me. I call it promotion, protection, and love. And it's knowing your how and utilizing man-made constructive time in order to effectuate getting to where you want to be faster with more and getting a bigger result. It's that simple. But remember, the simple things to do are unfortunately simple not to do unless you practice them every day. And then they become easier and easier because they become part of the conscious, subconscious, and unconscious continuum. They actually become quantum in your nature. And anyone that's worked out before and started working out knows the first 2 or 3 weeks you wake up going, yeah, do not want to do this. And then it completely changes. Oh shit, I can't miss it. You feel weird when you miss a workout. Some people actually have to pull back and go, I need to make sure I rest today. That's part of my fitness plan is rest. It's amazing. That happens with every single habit or commitment that you make to consistent behavior. So nothingness is where we start and most people live, and possibilities are created by knowing what you want, who creates the probability, and how creates your perspective.
Imagine starting a small business, your first customer, your first hire, your first real paycheck. It's an exciting time, but also a little scary. That's where JustWorks comes in. As an all-in-one platform, JustWorks supports small business growth by providing seamless tools for benefits, payroll, HR, and compliance, all with transparent pricing. Running payroll is now painless. You can complete it in 90 seconds or less and automate payments. So it's as simple as set it and forget it. In 2023 alone, JustWorks processed over 25.6 billion in trusted payroll for its customers. And you won't have to worry about paperwork. They handle payroll, tax documents, and reporting to ensure compliance. Visit justworks.com/podcast to join thousands of small businesses that trust JustWorks to manage payroll, benefits, compliance, and more. That's justworks.com/podcast.
The fourth practice is knowing your now. You see, there's some math statistics that I know to be true. For example, 100% of all short putts in golf don't go in. Another one that's true, 99% of all statistics are made up. But another one that I know to be true is 100% of the things that you do now get done. 100% of the things you do now get done. So know your now, and your perspective becomes your reality, because your reality is what you are doing now. And even furthermore, know what you're doing next. Now, it is impossible to know your now or know your next unless you know what's important to you. According to your divine direction, according to the circumstances of the day and the lessons of the past. In other words, you cannot prioritize anything unless you know your now. And if you know your what, your who, and your how, you'll know your now. Prioritization is the antidote to the two biggest problems that exist in business. One, feeling overwhelmed. Anybody ever feel overwhelmed? Two, procrastination. You realize it's impossible, if you know what to do now and know what to do next, it's impossible to procrastinate or feel overwhelmed. I actually wake up every morning and say to myself, I can't believe how many options, opportunities, and touches of favor I have. I am so blessed. I got millions of things I can do today. I'm blessed. But I'm not going to let it create resistance in my life, fear in my life. I'm not going to feel overwhelmed and procrastinate. I'm simply going to say, oh, I'm blessed. I got millions of things to do. I'm going to learn how to prioritize them by knowing my now, by knowing what's important to me today. So what is it I want first? Who can I help? Who can help me? And how best can I get it done? And when I'm studying my calendar in the how, I'm not just studying the activities that I have planned. I'm studying the activities I don't have planned. The blank spaces in my calendar. How many people pay attention and give attention to the empty spaces in their calendar? It's the best thing ever. It's like having a parking spot at Costco in the front where they're selling that car at noon. So like, you want to make God laugh at you? Come up with a well-developed plan. But you can create an opportunity for yourself when God laughs at you to say, not a problem, God, you can laugh at me. I'm just going to prioritize and reprioritize and move that over to this empty spot. I know exactly where it is. I really don't care. I got a flat tire. I'm just going to move what I was supposed to be doing there right to this empty spot, that parking place in front of Costco on a Saturday. Saving me a ton of time and aggravation. You have to study the activity you have planned, the activity you don't have planned, the activity you get paid for, the activity you don't get paid for, and your sleep. And then you can prioritize by knowing your now and knowing your next. Understanding knowing your next is the reprioritization, knowing that God is laughing at you because you're not in control. Remember, you're either humble or you're about to be. And if you're going to rely on your well-developed plan, you're about to be humbled. So you might as well prepare for humility by having and studying and giving intention, not only to the activities you get paid for, not paid for, planned, but what you don't have planned, so that you can prioritize and know your now and create a reality that's aligned with where you want to be or better and change the meaning of your life. Creating a greater purpose, a greater passion, greater profitability that allows you to what? Withstand greater pain. Which allows you to be statistically more successful because you're not going to quit because your passion and purpose is so much greater than any pain that you can endure or experience. You cannot quit if your passion and purpose are greater than the pain. And that comes from knowing your what, knowing your who, knowing your how, and knowing your now. It's guaranteed. The nothingness, the possibility, the probability, the perspective now becomes your reality. Which leads me into your fifth daily practice. Apply your why. One of the more common questions that we get is, Mr. Meltzer, I don't know my why. I don't know my why. You don't know your why? Yes, you do. You are your why because you're part of it. You're part of the infinite, abundant, unified system of why. You are part of that power, that why. You just aren't applying it. You're interfering with it. We need to practice, as I stated earlier, we need to practice living in spirit, inspired. We need to apply our why. And so we have to shift the paradigm from wanting more to understanding I am and understanding what I'm doing to interfere what I am, my potential of what I want or better. Not what other people want, not what's missing, not what you don't have. Most people focus in on what? What they're missing, what they don't have, what other people want. Then when they get what's missing, what they don't have, more of what they don't have, and what other people want for them, they're resentful, guilty, shameful, justify why they're not where they want to be. Right? Like the empty milers, the extra milers. Yeah, but I studied 16 hours on Saturday. Oh, so that's how you're going to justify why you're not where you want to be? Why not utilize the five daily practices and be committed to consistent behavior? Apply your why. And we apply our why by what? Identifying how we react to fear. We identify how we react to fear. Look for the clues in your life how you react to fear. Look for the clues in your life how your parents reacted to fear, your grandparents, and even your great parents, great grandparents, because it's genetically and energetically inherited. I know that not only have I seen the clues, but there's patterns in my life. I have a serious need to be offended. It's a horrible need, by the way. I wish, you know, you could feed the world as fast as you have a need to be offended. If you have a need offended, all you need to do is walk outside. Instantly, you'll be offended. So many people have a need to be offended, they don't even realize all they're doing is creating interference between them and where they want to be, and they don't understand it's a reaction to fear, that they're wasting not only their time, but they're moving in a direction that they don't want to be in because what? It's a bad behavior. It's behavior that doesn't get you to where you want to be. It interferes with it. How about the need to be right? Anybody here have the need to be right? How come all the married guys raise their hand? Think about how much time, emotion, value, and relationships you wasted with a need to be right or offended. Need to be anxious, worried. Worried's one of my favorite ones. How many people here have ever worried? Talk about a wasted emotion. It's a duplicative wasted emotion. Why? Because not only is it an interfering energy, a reaction to fear, but it's actually praying for what you don't want. So when I was in law school, I took trust in estates, and there's something called the rules of perpetuity. And somehow I got it into my mind that I could not learn the rules of perpetuity. We all have these types of things when we're studying or taking classes, or we just think, I can't do that. I don't know what happened. Maybe I wasn't paying attention the day, or I was hungover because I went to law school in New Orleans at Tulane, and I had too many hurricanes. I don't know what happened, but I was convinced I couldn't learn the rules of perpetuity. So on the final for trust and estates, I spent hours worrying, I hope the rules of perpetuity aren't on the test. Instead of studying the rules of perpetuity, instead of asking for help for someone to explain me the rules of perpetuity, I decided it was much more beneficial in my life to worry about the rules of perpetuity being on the trust and estates test. Guess what the first question on the test was? Of course it was, and we know that happens to us all the time. You're manifesting what you don't want and interfering with what you do. By the way, I took the bar exam. First question on the trust and estates, again, what I worried the most about, rules of perpetuity. Just to prove my point to people, when I was 50 years old years ago, and I changed my mindset, I went on the internet to learn the rules of perpetuity. I hadn't practiced law in over 30 years. I hadn't studied the rules of perpetuity, guaranteed, since before the bar. And I hadn't worried about it either. I just decided I'm going to go online and understand and learn this. Took me 15 minutes. I took practice bar examination tests on the rules of perpetuity and aced it. Life and being in 21 years, still understand it. That's what we do in life with these interferences, with these reactions. Worry is a duplicative negative emotion. I need to be superior and inferior. I need to be separate. Those are today what's killing our unity in America. A need to be separate, inferior and superior. Stop it. Stop it. You have a need to appreciate the differences. You have a need to understand each other. You don't have a need to be inferior or superior. That's what's going to revive this country and what it was built from. A bunch of people that don't look alike, sound alike, have everything alike. It's a bunch of misfits from all over the world that landed here that appreciated our differences and created the greatest nation ever to be built. Because there's one common denominator of Americans that came over here. They had a desire that they must be what they can be, and that's part of your genetic and energetic inheritance if you're here. Stop interfering with it. Stop it. You need to be angry, upset. All of these things. If I could get back any part of my life, people say, you know, what do you regret? I don't regret anything, but if I could get back anything in my life, it would be the time that I spent, the energy I spent, the value I wasted in relationships that I ruined with my reactions to fear. Man, I'm talking, I would have so much more good in my life. I mentioned earlier, when we react to fear, we see the clues and the patterns. We don't try to resist it, go over it, under it, through it, around it, lie to it, manipulate it, and cheat it. What do? We don't deny it. We just stop. And we breathe, and we remind, remember, and recollect where the divine direction is, ready with our purpose for divine detours in faith, and allow for divine time to reveal what it actually means. We allow divine time to reveal what these outcomes that we don't understand in our life actually mean. We don't have to do it ourselves. You can determine the meaning, and time will reveal the meaning. And I promise the meaning will be one of protection, promotion, and love. I guarantee it. Because I have faith that I'm protected, promoted, and loved by something much bigger than me, that's omniscient and all-powerful. And I suggest and even believe that you somewhere believe the exact same thing that I do. You may label it differently. It doesn't bother me. Labels are for shampoo. Pretty soon I won't need any of that even. Just stop and drop, remind, remember, recollect, and roll where you want to be. Get into the practice of applying your why. This is how we take our possibilities, our probabilities, our perspective, our reality, and apply our why. This is how we get to where we want to be or better. Whatever it is, making a lot of money, helping a lot of people, having a lot of fun. But you got to practice it. You have to make a commitment to it every single day, 7 days a week. Make sure that you sleep. Make sure that you have committed behaviors that are good for you, where you want to be. Not where I want to be, or not where your parents want you to be, or anyone else. Simply where you want to be. Remember, I am. What am I doing to interfere with it? And I promise you, you won't live in nothingness ever again. You'll know and apply your why every single day. You will take the nothingness and know what you want experientially, personally, giving, receiving, and make it a possibility. Know your who you can help, who can help you. Make it a probability. Knowing your how by being a student of your calendar. Understanding the mathematical equation of luck. You know, there's an actual mathematical equation of luck, and it's what you pay attention to plus what you give your intention to. What you do, say, think, feel, and believe, five levels of intention, equals the coincidences in your life, the consequences, results, the outcomes of your life. So pay attention to what you want and give it your intention. It will eat the coincidences. The universe will coincide for you the consequences and results or better that you want. It's a mathematical equation of how. And that's what studying is to me. I'm paying attention and giving intention in a direction or behaviors in which I want to get to where I want to be or better. Know your now, prioritize according to what you want, Know your next so you can reprioritize and utilize the Costco parking place in your calendar. Activities planned, unplanned, paid for, unpaid for, and sleep. And then apply your why. That's the infinite loop. An infinite loop of more than enough of everything for everyone. Where there's more money, more happiness, and more help for everyone. And it's not easy. You're going to get kicked in the face every single day. The devil will tempt you right when you don't want him to. The devil to me is just negative energy. The devil owns about 98% of the people in the world, forcing them to live like tubes, food in and food out. There's 2% of us though that practice every day with faith and wisdom, shortening the distance of resistance that fear and negative energy that surrounds us. And one particle of light overcomes a million particles of darkness. Be that light. If you don't believe me, go into a dark room and light a match and watch how it lights the room. One particle of light overcomes a million particles of darkness. Be that light. Know your what, your who, your how, and your now, and apply your why.